Will he tip the card?
I know I've said it before, but given the series of events that leads me into your studio today, Michael, I think there is something happening. There's something in the air.
We'll tip the card here.
I'll tip the card this weekend.
Mick Sharkey joins Racing Pulse to preview the big races in Friday Form Focus.
It is that time of the week, Friday Form Focus with Mick Sharkey. It is a jam-packed Friday. Sharky, we are going to get through the whole card at Flemington. We're going to look at the Run to the Roses, and this is the best card of racing we've seen in months. Not just the Maccabi Diva, which has got intrigue surrounding the favourite, but the undercard. I think I heard Dean Lester this morning say there are 17 Group 1 winners in action at Flemington.
17?
And 80% of the runners in the quaddie are listed or group horses, which is an indication of the depth for tomorrow's meeting. Is it a punters meeting? There's a couple of odds onies, which...
There are.
To the eye look almost good things, don't they?
Oh, they do. They do. You sort of look at the fields and you think, I think of things you said after watching these horses win their last race. I might have said after Artorias's run, he won't get beaten again this spring.
Well, you killed him first.
And you kind of think, yeah. And then you look at the field and you think, there's a couple there that might be able to improve. Is $1.70 what we want to be playing at? Don't know. But anyway, it's a lovely day of racing. Just a shame we can't be there. But you know what? I want to hear from our listeners the best way to take in a day at the race. We're all stuck at home. So how do we set up? What's the setup? You know, how do we make the most out of a bad situation? How do we enjoy it? Do we build an homage to Flemington in the background so you feel like you're there, your favourite part of the track, or do you just get an esky and a zillion tins and set up and lock the door so the kids can't come in and bother you? What's the setup for Saturday?
Getting all your winners on RSN in the morning, then getting a big TV screen and having a few drinks and a punt and trying to get someone to look after the kids so they don't pester you is the number one thing. Hey, Sharky, who are you brought to by each and every Friday?
Ooh.
Have they got a best on breeding for Maccabi Diva Stakes Day tomorrow?
Just consulting that at the moment. We'll find out. I'm sure Matt Ennis is listening. He'll flick one over.
You can tell us at the end.
I'll tell you at the end. That's what we'll do.
Let's get stuck into it because I want to spend a fair bit of time on these feature races, including the Maccabi Diva. We'll get a word on every runner, even though there's a few that are stayers resuming and probably won't be anywhere near at the top of the picture tomorrow. But this could be a race that produces Caulfield Cup, Cox Plate and Melbourne Cup contenders. So we kick the first race off with another horse that's very interesting. Ponders, who we've seen here before, ran so well last spring carnival. Oh, how about we have a chat to Liam O'Keefe? I'm getting excited. I want to get stuck straight into it. So before that, let's find out what the track conditions are with Liam. Morning, Liam.
Morning, Michael.
Gee, it's been some nice weather the last couple of days in Melbourne. Is the track in pristine condition for tomorrow's meeting?
Yeah, it is, Michael. It's been a good week. As you mentioned, we had some good rainfall last weekend, 45 mil, and then we've just had a few mil since then during the week, and we've also put on 5 mil of irrigation last night and another 5 the night before. So plenty of juice in the ground, but it presents a good pour, the rail back in the true position, and the going stick is 8.6.
No rain predicted for the next 24 hours?
No rain. Just a couple of late showers tomorrow, but that'll be after our race meeting. So partly cloudy, 23 degrees, and a 22-kilometre northwest wind, which is basically a headwind around the home turn and then a tailwind up the straight. So you might just see the jockeys looking for a little bit of cover coming around that home turn.
All right. So when do you estimate we'll be in the good three range?
I'm not 100% sure we're going to get there tomorrow. We're first meeting back off a renovation, so naturally the ground's quite soft and fluffy, if you like. When you renovate it, it's almost like fluffing up a pillow and then takes a couple of meetings for it to bed down. So we're going to water it again tonight, make sure there's plenty of give in the ground. There's a lot of good horses resuming, and it's going to be 23 degrees with Norley, so we want to start off with plenty of juice in the ground.
When you have this renovation, traditionally, how does it play the first meeting back?
Yeah, normally plays well. It's come back really, really good. That rain last weekend has really brought the track on. And, rail backing true, good horses, good-sized fields. I'd expect it to race well.
How will they run the straight races, do you think?
I've got a couple. couple early in the card, so they might just come up the middle, and then later on in the day, for the Bobby Lewis, they might come up that middle to outside part of the course, but they'll have a tailwind, so they'll run quite quick times tomorrow down the straight.
Have you got something that you've spied out of track work during the week that we should be backing?
Yeah, I've heard a little whisper that the astrologist has not gone backwards. So he's certainly in some good form, and he's definitely holding that. So the word from the track is the astrologist tomorrow and the Bobby Lewis.
Astrologist in the Bobby Lewis. I think Dino was giving it a bit of a push this morning as well. So we'll talk tomorrow. Liam, it sounds like it's going to be a ripper meeting and a ripper track. First one back since the renovation. Enjoy it.
Thanks, guys.
Liam O'Keefe, perfect conditions, Sharky,
yes,
for the meeting.
Love it.
Tomorrow. All right, let's get
launch
into the first race. Pondus, $3. Yep. Tiridon, $3.80. Coulth has been well supported into $4.80. What do we do with Pondus? We haven't seen him for such a long time. He should have won. Was it the Bendigo Cup? And then He ran really well in the Queen Elizabeth. Do we look for market moves? How do we play the first?
I think you have to. As always with this yard, you have to look for market moves. We haven't seen him in any trials or jump outs. You would think that he would have done enough work. You can't really take a line through Dawn Patrol, which came out with Pondus, I assume. They've both had their last runs in a similar time in late June in Ireland. I think Dawn Patrol was in a race that was a bit short for him and it wasn't run to suit. So you probably can't say, oh, he's going to be as fit as that horse or run as well as that horse. He's kicking off over 25, so clearly he's got enough work. Want to have a look at him pre-race in the yard. If he looks good, they won't beat him. He has panels on this field, but you can't bet now because you need to see the horse.
6.5 kilos, he's carrying more. Does that
doesn't matter.
You?
Like some of these horses fed him and they're flat out winning an off-season race, to be brutally honest. He should win if he looks fit enough.
Coulth looks like he's crying out for Flemington at 2500.
Yeah, he's probably the one. The last two at Moonee Valley, not his go that track, and particularly his last run last week, he got back in an awkward spot and was trying to make ground. You could see the horse was intent on chasing, but that turn just didn't help him. Once he got balanced up late, his last 150 was the best part of his race, and he looks ready to go to this trip, and Flemington will only be in his favour. He's probably the main danger, along with Kalorny, I would have thought, because he ran really well behind Shabao, and he's been kept fresh for this.
Okay, so he's $3 now, Pondus. What's the advice?
Just wait. Just look at him in the yard. Listen to the Jane Ivels and Warren Huntleys of this world. They're great mounting yard judges. If they say that he looks fit and ready, you could have a bet, because I think 2-1 is a good price against a really class horse. Like, he's a group class stayer who could be right in the thick of things come a Melbourne Cup. He's a Group 2 place getter in a Curra Cup last start, and you're getting 2-1. If he looks fit enough, he's a bet.
So he's a launch?
If he looks fit enough.
Okay.
Yep. You couldn't bet now. You could not bet now. With it sight unseen, you couldn't play now.
Hold your fire. Watch tomorrow. Listen. Dean Lester also, pre-race, his views. And if it's on, get on. Pondus at $3. What price would you be happy to play?
Oh, $3. I think he'll hold there until he comes into the yard. And you often see race day markets sort of adjust as soon as they walk in the yard. The bookies have all got their spies who look and say, oh, yeah, he looks fit. This one looks a bit fat. And there's sort of an instant almost trim up or easing, depending on how fit they are. So just wait and see when they walk in the yard. The market will tell you.
All right. We'll wait and see what we do with Pondus.
If he's $3 to $4, well, you know he's not on. So, yeah, just watch the market near the race.
All right. I'm keen to get your thoughts on Artorias. You declared him last start, and it was a horror watch. It was an awesome run, but It was a horror watch. He's $1.70 tomorrow in the Exford Plate. Luke Curry on board. Peter Moody was pretty up and about Lightsaber, saying he gets his chance to beat the favourite tomorrow. Whether he's got the quality to do so is another story. But out to the 1400 at Flemington. Halal was a disappointment. Can it improve on its first up run at the Valley? He's exceptional, won that race. And Tutakaka is an interesting runner from the Tony Pike stable. I think he's currently the favourite or second favourite for the Derby. And this race last year, Johnny Get Angry ran third last and then went on to win the Derby. Do we take $1.70 Artorias? Do we put him in a leg of an all-up?
Yeah, maybe he's the first pole of a two-pole double with Ayrton potentially. $1.70 is really short. It's really short because he's got a good horse to beat in Halal. You know, Halal's been Group 1 placed in a Champagne and a Sires. Mooney Valley was just not his go, nor was 1200. I think that was the week after Ingratiating One. And, you know, I myself also looked at the race and thought, well, he's the best horse in this race by some margin. He might just be too good for them. And the market sort of thought the same. He just hung tight around that 230 quote the whole time. Just didn't get around the valley in 1200. It's as simple as that. Blinkers go on. Flemington, big track. He has a good chance to cause a minor upset. I'm not saying it's a huge upset because he is a quality animal. But he could potentially turn the tables. I can't oppose Artorias, but I'm very wary of Halal. The rest of them, good luck.
He's $2 the place, Halal. $1.70 the win, Artorias.
Well, the place is $2 the place. I really think Halal should be running top three. Wayne Hawks in particular was very confident that the horse had come on from its two-year-old prep prior to the Mackenzie. Okay, he probably didn't run to expectations or anywhere near expectations in that race. But those good stables rarely get it wrong when there's a horse going well at home and they turn up and have a bad prep. They don't usually do that. I would expect Halal to be well and truly in the top three. If you're looking at the odds on that, just on that comparison, yeah, $2 to run top three versus $1.70 to win might be a good bet.
All right. But
he also gets 2.5 kegs off him, which is pretty handy.
If you wanted to play a little multi, don't be scared maybe to put Artorias in as one of the legs of the multi. But Halal each way or a place bet could be the way to go.
Tutakaka is the horse to watch out of.
From a Derby point of view, I was going to ask you, Tutakaka, is that the one that you're looking at early doors?
Yeah, I think so. He looks like he's going to run the trip out of a Derby. You know, any two-year-old that's running 1,800 metres, albeit back into the season, but he was very dominant in that race. I don't know how good they were behind him, but at least he's going the right way and he's showing that he's capable of putting up a margin over a middle distance. I would have thought that he'll be hitting the line really well late in this race. And yeah, if he does, he'll probably trim up a little in the Derby.
All right. So it's a interesting little play there from the Shark. Halal, maybe the place bet is the way to go in race number two. An SMS coming here through the question you've put out, Sharky. Hello, boys. Mm. My race day routine, the Holy Trinity. RSN Ooh. First, word over a coffee, into housework
good.
To keep the lovely shackles off before punting my little heart out, launching into crispy cans of Melbourne Bitter and a few cheeky dimmies for tea. The only thing getting us through
cans
lockdown.
Of Melbourne.
That's from Zeus.
Bitter.
Hey, Zeus.
Zeus will be
that's
in
a pretty
sort
good
of,
day to me.
If he's sucking down Melbourne bitter cans, I'm tipping he's around Northcote or somewhere like that. That's the drink of choice around there.
I don't mind a little Melbourne bitter. There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with it. It must be cold, though. It's like a
100%.
It's like the Green Bullets, the old Vic cans. They've got to be cold. Once they sort of start to heat up a little bit.
It's got to be icy cold. Boys, I join the Senior Citizens Club tomorrow, 65. I've got a one-year-old and a five-year-old, so it's party pies and fairy bread plus plenty of Charlie Chans to the Great White. Give us your best for a birthday present. That's from Steve. So, Steve?
Steve's 65, and he's recently sired two children.
Well, he goes well at it, Steve.
The last name's not Hefner, is it?
You might.
It's not Steve Hefner.
You might have a paddock at Leneva waiting for you,
wow.
Steve.
Wow.
Sharky will give you his
Very
best.
Very good work.
Sharky will give you his best at the end. Let's get on to race number three. This is the Poseidon. Ooh. How good is this race, Sharky? It's only a small field. We get to see Ingratiating back. He's now in the red, $1.95. Finance Tycoon, who has beaten him down the straight at Flemington, $3.40. Jigsaw, who went mad last start. Blinkers are staying on. And Shaquiro, which is a horse that you love, is at $11. And gee, Moods gave Smitzer at $61 a good push.
Nice little horse, Smitzer.
This is a really good horse.
Yeah, he is a nice horse. The Werribee win was very, very good back in April. Moods will find a stakes race for it somewhere. Don't know if it's this one.
Let's have a listen to what Danny O'Brien had to say about Finance Tycoon.
I think he is a horse that naturally puts himself there, so I can't imagine that we'll be holding him up too much. And as you said, it's only a small field anyway. Sometimes you can make it too complicated down the straight trying to find a backside, and I would imagine that he'll be right there.
And we caught up with James Cummings on ingratiating as well.
We were impressed with the return of our colt first up. He's the best credentialed horse here with his placing in the slipper, and it'll be important for him to continue on his, continue in that rich vein of form as he heads towards even harder targets. But I can't imagine him doing anything but running very well, and he's going to really enjoy being back up the straight where he's got such a good record so far.
And he looks like he's drawn beautifully. Gate 7, he can sit outside his main opposition and just come with one run like he did at Caulfield. How do you see the race?
I don't want to say it's a race in two. You don't want to be too disparaging of other decent horses in the race. Like you've got a Magic Millions winner in the race, like Shakira. He's a fair animal. But it kind of looks that way, doesn't it? Honestly, ingratiating his win at Caulfield, I don't know how we got 5-2 about that horse, but I'm glad we did. It was dominant. Okay, General Bowen Generation, yeah, where are they sitting? They're probably listed grade. But he put them away and gave them a big head start and just put them away. Oh, I think he's the benchmark here. Finance Tycoon has beaten him, that's true. And he has run blistering time around Caulfield. Also true. Blue Diamond run, very good. But once these horses were up and going into their two-year-old prep, Ingratiating probably did look to be a little bit better than Finance Tycoon. You would think by being by Written Tycoon, he'll improve into his three-year-old season. So I couldn't say confidently I'll go charge into Ingratiating at $1.95, because I think there is room for Finance Tycoon to sort of bridge the gap that was probably there at two. It's a fascinating race to watch. I'm not sure if I want to plough in on the punt, though.
Who do you think's the better horse?
Well, right here, right now, Ingratiating's got a better record. But Finance Tycoon might be an absolute jet down the straight. You know, Ingratiating, the day they raced in the Maribyrnong Plate, Ingratiating had every possible chance to go past Finance Tycoon. And he had at a start prior to that at Caulfield, I think it was. And he had improved. So this is a horse that sort of goes forward a little bit during his career, like his body of work to date. Ingratiating, likewise, great clash. It's really difficult to split them. I'll probably go Ingratiating because we've seen him.
Yep.
You know, this horse's Finance Tycoon's had a stable change halfway through a prep too.
He has.
You know, that shouldn't be left out of consideration.
All right, so it's a watch and wait.
Yeah.
All right, Ingratiating, you wouldn't want to take $1.95. Finance Tycoon, $3.40. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy race number three.
That's ripping little race.
Hey, our good friend's just come back to us, Steve, and said, sorry, boys, I meant to say grandchildren, not children. So,
Steve.
So that's all right, Steve. That's,
I had him up
that
here.
Makes it...
He's just come down a couple of runs. I was picturing Steve sitting back with, a lovely partner half his age, sort of like a velvet robe, a little, like a smoking jacket type thing, just casting his eyes, sitting out. Overlooking his dominion, something like that. He sort of bumped it down a little bit.
I think it's
now
a much better life for Steve with the grandkids you can hand back. Let's kick on to race number four, which is the Captain Tibbs. Again, so much depth in these races, and interesting to see the return of Dosh. What have you made of Dosh from what you've seen of jump outs, and also Crystal Bound, who looked jaw-dropping on its debut at the Valley.
You kind of forget about Crystal Bound a little bit, don't you? Like, she towered up He's Exceptional, who's since won a stakes race. She went to the Percy Sykes and ran really well there. And again, a month between runs, change of state, and she's been beaten, half a length by Jamea, who's then come out last week and won the Silver Shadow, was it? I think. Yeah, anyway, so the form is all there around Crystal Bound. Listening with interest to Kieran Maher this morning, talking about how it's only in the last couple of weeks that her coach started to come through. So maybe this run just sort of tightens her up a little bit. Maybe we just see a little bit of improvement come from her. What I'm fascinated about with Crystal Bound is that pedigree. Instead of as a Beale mare, is this a sheer sprinter? Or is this a horse now that comes into the picture for 1,000 guineas? If that stamina kicks in from mum.
Wow. Interesting. We'll see how she goes tomorrow.
Argentia's out the door. Three-year-old fillies races, the flight and 1,000 guineas, in my opinion, they're there for the taking this year. Maybe it's a horse like Crystal Bound that can emerge and wallop into the market at that.
It does look like a year where you could get a horse really improve out of nowhere.
I think it could be. And she look, she's shown raw ability. That's the beautiful thing about her.
Well,
it's not like she's coming from absolute left field. So, yes, one of many horses on the day that I'm frothing to have a look at, Miguel.
Well, speaking of horses that look promising, the two wins of Cerades,
yes,
have been... That win over in Adelaide, that stamped herself as a horse to follow. That was just arrogant, the way she raced away from them the last 100.
I don't know how good they were. I think it might have been a bit of a soft-listed race, but she smashed them. She absolutely smashed them. Like, the runner-up had been running around at Port Lincoln, so... Don't know about that. Anyway, she carved them up there. I'm with her here because I think the progeny of Astern, whatever they do at two, they'll be better at three. I think she'll go ahead this preparation. Jump Out has been good. She and Dosh are the two fillies that I think will be fighting this race out and looking for Crystal Bound to run really well, perhaps with a view to stepping up to 1400.
SMS from a listener saying, I really like Pretty Woman tomorrow. What can Pretty you tell us Woman. About your thoughts on Pretty Woman?
Good song. Nice horse. Canberra form. Where does it stack up here? She was tried, you know, in better grade behind Glistening in the Riesling. Not up to it. I want to have a look at her again at this level before tumbling in.
Another question, all about Eve. Can it win Shark?
Nope.
Okay, there you go.
Nice horse, but no, I'd be surprised if it won this.
Hi there. Boys, I'm a part owner of Light Saber. According to Moods, he's improved immensely since his last run in the McNeil. He's now at a distance that suits, won the Group 2 size. We believe a good each way chance. Good luck, Jason. Part owner.
Good luck indeed.
Light Saber will be hard to beat.
You're going to need a head start on them coming around the corner, which you should have. He's an on-speed horse, but your two dangers are going to be back and chasing you.
Hello, boys. Why no love for Exceptional tomorrow?
He's Exceptional.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, not for me.
All right. Someone telling us the Crystal Bound sister runs at Donald in race number 4 on Sunday. Might be one too.
First start or...
Look at.
We'll find it.
Another one here. Morning, Sharky, Michael. We live right on Caulfield Racecourse. Yeah. We like to set up a bar... table, cheese platters, beer, champagne, and watch the GZs run past. That I always watch those, the houses down the side, which can overlook Caulfield, and think how cool it would be to live there.
But you know what frustrates me about that setup? You're so close. Like, dude, you're across the road. Just walk across the road.
No one can get there at the moment, Sharky.
No, I mean...
Don't rub it in.
I mean the people that do that on the race day. What are they doing that for? Just cross the road, mate. Pay $10 and go.
Hey. We need to take a quick break. On the other side of this, we're going to whip through the rest of the Flemington card. We're going to really focus on the Quaddy Shark. I need you to focus on the Quaddy. And we're going to go through every runner in the Maccabi Diva Stakes. You're listening to Friday Form Focus. Keep the SMSs coming. I'll get through more of those questions and tips and how you will be watching tomorrow.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to Friday Form Focus with the Shark looking at Flemington tomorrow. We're up to race number 5 where we get to see another short price favourite, another of the boom horses who has done nothing wrong in his career. And I speak of Ayrton. Trainer Mick Price joins us this morning. Good morning, Mick.
Morning, boys. How are you?
Very well indeed. After I spoke to you, following his first up win at Caulfield, you were wrapped and you said there's a lot of improvement to come. Has he improved out of that race as much as you hoped?
Yeah, look, we have known that we're only running a 1400 metre race, so I haven't had to ask him to improve too much. Had a couple of 1,000 metre gallops here. He galloped the super on the grass here on Tuesday morning. He's got a nice, robust blood pitcher on him, and I think it's the right race. Thought John rode him beautifully the other day, and not much pace on in that race, correct me if I'm wrong, but anyway, doesn't matter. I think they'll just canter along. I think the first time Flemington, they'll probably just canter along. So yeah, it's a nice run in the race, and can work home, he'd be hard to beat.
Mickey's so good coming off a genuine tempo, and he can surge and really sustain a run. Is he a horse that needs a strong tempo, or do you think he can sit sprint and be just as effective?
Well, the 1,400 metres at Flemington on the big track, it allows those horses to unwind and run good sectionals, even if it's a muddly run race, and they're a bit sitting sprint races like that race, I think, will be. I think he's still got a good turn of foot to hit the line and win, you know. I'd be disappointed if he gets beat. I think he's in very good order. I think the race suits, and he's certainly a great winning chance.
Are you still thinking about heading to Sydney for the Epsom following tomorrow?
Well, he'll get his rating up. He'll still get in on the minimum. I think it's 3 weeks to the Epsom and then 4 weeks to the Silver Eagle, Golden Eagle. That Costello and Kermadec took a couple of paths towards the Golden Eagle through the Epsom and then a trial in between. So I think that's the right way to do it. I haven't sort of locked all that in, but 1.5 mil for the Epsom. And I think, I'm pretty sure actually, his 1600 metre form will prove to be a lot better than his 1400 metre form, which is why I didn't really think about running him in the Rupert Clark, you know, because Rupert Clark can be a like a 1200 metre horse's race, like a fast 1400, usually a big field. So, you know, waiting for a mile on a big track for that horse, and I actually reckon he'll get a good 2,000 metres when he's trained up for it, you know. But anyway, Golden Eagle at this stage, and we'll see how we go.
In race six, Mick, you've got Quantum Mechanic going around. She had a good prep last time around. Is she fresh enough to have an impact this time first up?
No, I wouldn't think so. I think she'll just count around and plod home like she does, and if she runs anywhere in the top five, that'll be about us. But I think a mile with a bit of racing and toeing the ground will be good for her, but I'd be surprised if she was to show up too boldly tomorrow.
A couple of horses going to Cranbourne on Sunday that look like they could be heading possibly towards derbies, Bedford Estate and Gunstock, both Tavistocks. What can you tell us about those two?
Yeah, they both go good. They're both capable of winning. Just talking about Liam Riordan, who's riding Bedford. He said, I'm going to go forward and be up there and then win on it, and then I'm going to win the derby on it. I said, right, okay.
We like that.
So, yes. Look, they're both really nice horses, and I expect them both to go really well. They're fit, they're trained up, they've trialled well, and I hope Bedford wins for young Liam. But he's thinking he can win anyway, and I'm thinking it'll go close. But, yeah, both nice horses to follow as they get up in the distance too.
Two to follow on Sunday. Good luck for the weekend, Mick.
Thanks, boys.
So that's a nice little out wide for Sunday.
Hey, do you like that? Thank you. You like that? Yeah, we all know Ayrton's going to win. Oh, well, let's find something else.
It might have a little flutter on the derby futures.
Don't worry.
Well.
I saw your fingers tapping away. I know what you're doing on the other side of that Dell screen.
Hey, what I did like to hear was, I'll be very disappointed if he gets beaten, Ayrton, which I think most punters will agree with. He's $1.65. Despite what Mick's saying, that there may not be good speed in the race, it's hard to see him getting beaten, isn't it, Shark?
I don't think he does. I think he just wins again. He's so well-placed, this horse, like beautifully placed. When you look at how they've taken this horse through his grades, he's won a Group 3 in Queensland last prep and did it very, very well. He resumes in an open handicap with 55. Well, he wins that comfortably. And now he carries 56 in another stakes race. Like, his progression, the plan here from Mick Price and Michael Kent Jr. has just been beautiful.
All right.
And I think he'll be winning this again. Perfect draw. Handicap's not an issue. He meets horses that he beat last time, only marginally better or only marginally worse for beating them and probably not having the fitness that they did. He's the bet of the day.
Roll the dollar 65. Probably the bet of the century. Hang on. I'll stop speaking. Say that again.
Oh, my old mate Gator used to say it every now and then, better the millennium, that sort of stuff. I don't know about the millennium. I think he's as close to a good thing as you'll get.
All right, that's for posterity if something happens.
Well, I'm not exactly, you know, I'm not exactly stretching the boundaries of human contemplation. That
roll it
$1.65.
Yeah. One out in your early quads and your big sixes and roll it into another, maybe an Artorias to get around about 3.20.
Yeah, that's not a bad play.
Morning Shark, Felgate. Best today, Swan Hill Race 3. Swan Hill Race 3. This is a first starter from the Patrick Payne stable. Barangarang Red back after a nice trial. Leopardstown tomorrow. Mother Earth and St Mark's Basilica. Great weekend of racing. We've got the Doncaster Cup tonight, where we'll get to see Rodrigo Diaz go around. We've got the St. Ledger tomorrow, where we get to see Sir Lucan go around as well. Lay of the Day incentivised. Could not back it with stolen money. That's from Barry the Painter in Collingwood.
Wouldn't disagree with that.
All right. Ooh, a little bit of a tease for what you're thinking coming up in the Maccabi Diva. The Furphy Let's Alope Stakes, 1,400 metres. First leg of the quaddie. Gee, this is another good field. We've got the Group 1 winner, Instant Celebrity, who tops the weights 59 kilos, and the market has Instant Celebrity at this point in time at around about $3.90. Turath's the up-and-comer at $4.40. Still a star, the Tassie Champ at $5.50. Zoo Dancer, good push from Dino this morning into $9.50. Mystic Journey at $13. And Butter Chicken gets a start at $15 as well. Hello to all our Tassie listeners who have SMS and said, hey, the best way for us to watch races is in a pub with beers.
Oh, enjoy that. Yuck it up down there, Tassie. Yuck it up. You've got Mona at the end of the day. It's about all you
what
got.
What are we? Hey. Tassie. What? I Who? Love Tassie. Hey,
I love it too.
You've got relatives in Tassie.
No, I don't.
Isn't Kevin Sharkey your uncle?
Yeah, he doesn't live there. There you go. He lives down the road, actually. He's actually your neighbour. He's about 10 doors down.
He sponsors everything in Tassie.
Yeah, on. Listen, that's a conversation for another time.
We just burst the bubble there. Okay, Instant Celebrity, $3.90. Are you on Instant Celebrity for second up where she's got the amazing record?
She looks very, very hard to beat, doesn't she? Then look at the card. This is the situation with the Flemington card. You look at it and you think, oh, favourite should win nearly. Oh, it'll be hard to beat another favourite. It'll be hard to beat. Instant Celebrity would be hard to beat, but I don't know if she's unbeatable here. She's got 59 on her back. First up run was great. But there might be a couple here that could maybe have an impact. I reckon Zoo Dancer's been set for this race. I think this is grand final day for her. She's right in it. Ripper Rita. Got a little theory. It's actually not mine. It's the old man's. I pinched it from him. But it's served me well over the years. Horses that can run a middle distance and perform really, really well, that are by sprinting sires, generally run really well first up and often at a price. So Ripper Rita's in that category.
Well, her jump out was brilliant.
It was.
And she'd just drawn a little better, though. Gate 15 might be tricky for her.
Bonvicini, I heard Kieran Maher. This is a very good fresh horse, Bonvicini. She tends to run super first up. Second up, she's nearly been luckless every time she's had a second up run.
She chased home Arcadia Queen and pretty brazen in this race last year.
Really lightly raced, so she's clearly had some issues, but there's raw ability there, and they're pushing on with her to try and get a good group win on her CV.
Where do you put Mystic Journey?
Oh, I can't have her.
Why not?
Well, she sort of found her level.
She did have an injury last time.
Yeah. She was getting beaten 3.5 lengths, nearly 4 lengths in listed races in Tassie. She's been a great horse, don't get me wrong. But I need to see her come back to something like her best.
Can Turath, with a 4 kilo weight advantage on Instant Celebrity, coming through the ranks, beat Group 1 quality horses?
I'm inclined to risk her here, but she's fit. This is the thing about her. She's fit. Rock hard fit. She's Josephine on the spot. You know what I mean? Like, she's there ready to go today. So you've probably got to put her in the quaddie because you don't want to get knocked out first leg. But I'm a little bit wary of her, whether she's quite good enough if some of these are at their best.
Quaddie numbers, first leg.
Relatively wide start for the quaddie, because I'm still sort of mulling over a few of these. 1, 8, 11, 13, 14.
Instant Celebrity, Zoo Dancer, 11, Ripper Rita, 13, Bonvicini, 14, Turath.
Yep.
All right, so you're leaving out the Tassie stars?
Leaving them both out.
Okay. And Butter Chicken, you're also leaving out.
Butter Chicken, I think, is a really nice mare. Loved that trial. But, again, want to see her at this level, open company, open mares. I want to see how she goes.
Just quickly, someone's asking, who was your tip in race 4?
Oh, I don't know. Serides.
Serides. All right. Let's get on to the next race, because this is the Bobby Lewis. And we're fast running out of time, as we do every Friday.
We've still got 15 minutes. We've got enough time for 5 tangents, yeah.
Jonker is the $4.60 favourite. The Astrologist, $5.50. Away Game, $6. Zatori at $7. What a record Zatori's got. The new market winner. He's going for three Bobby Lewis's in a row. He's also won a Gilguy down the straight. He's got a lump, the 59.5. He's at $7. Had a chat to Tony Gollan earlier in the week. This is what he had to say about Jonker.
No, he's a horse that likes to roll at a good speed. He'll bounce out the gates and put himself right there, and he's able to quicken off that speed. He's got a high cruising speed, and he likes to quicken off, but we won't be able to change anything too much. I'm not needing cover or anything like that. I'm just going to keep him to his usual pattern, and he'll either cope or he won't. The closest I can get to that sort of scenario, I guess, was the Kingsford Smith here, where he was just beaten by Vega 1 late, 1300. He had a bit of a mixed preparation there, and they sort of had to race a fair way off fence in the straight, if you remember the replay. And, you're right out in the middle, and that'll be probably similar to Flemington on Saturday. He's not going to have too much of a rail to guide him along, but he's going to use his good speed and hopefully be able to quicken off that, and off we go.
He was really confident about Jonker. Where does Jonker fit in this race?
I think he's $4.60. He's in the conversation, isn't he? But what I love, Jonker is proof that durability breeds durability. Like Spirit of Boom raced forever and was from a two-year-old right through to winning Group 1 races at an older horse. Jonker, on his first two starts, including the Wyong Magic Millions, he was right in the market for the Magic Millions Classic. He's raced at stakes level through three. He was placed in a run to the Rose. He's basically contested stakes races his whole life. He's run second to Classic Legend in a narrow field. He's some sort of horse, this thing. He's 6 years old, and here he is lining up first time down the straight in a race where he can definitely have an impact. And again, Group 2 level. Like, you'd love to own one like him. Super tough horse. I think he's definitely winning chance. The straight's the only query. There's nothing really to say that he wouldn't handle it. There's nothing in his makeup that I would think, oh, that's a bit of a worry. He's a natural speed horse. He quickens up well off a good tempo. Usually those style of horses run well down the straight. Zatori, love Zatori. Just tough. Loves the straight. Super reliable. He'll run a great race. Likewise, the Astrologist, just in great form. Drawing the right part of the track. I think they're your main three.
No away game?
Yeah, and then you're into a away game. Now, what I really have enjoyed about her little preparation this time round is that Kieran Maher and David Eustace have taught this horse to settle. Because early days, she wanted to do it all a bit quickly. She was up on speed, and she looked a bit one-dimensional. That Eagle Farm win, going back late June, where she sat off the pace, finished hard. I think that sort of sets the template for her this spring. Again, Caulfield Regal Roller, similar story. 58, back, hits a line hard. She drops 5 kilos. Jai McNeil jumps on, and she's drawn what you would think would be the right part of the straight to just sit back off them and come with a late run. She is definitely in the game. Very, very hard to beat. She would be my top pick.
Top pick, away game. Good push from Kieran Maher at $6. Express Pass on the backup?
Not for me.
Splintex?
Not for me.
SMS saying, I'm really keen on Front Page.
I don't know how you could be with any confidence. It was okay first up. He needed the run. The market didn't like him. He was 370 out to nearly $5 by the time they jumped. And we had Jeff Duray that morning. That Friday morning. And he wasn't exactly brimming with confidence. He thinks the horse's back.
It sounded like he needed a run, which he's now had. So there could be improvement.
There could be. Look at his best run. The Kresik, he beat High Stranger, who's probably an off-season benchmark 90 horse. Is that the same sort of level? It'd be a great story on the day if Front Page came out and won this. But given what he's been through. But I'm just going to risk him.
So we're just putting four in the quaddie?
Yeah, 1, 2, 5, and 9.
1, 2, 5, and 9. Zatori, Jonker, the Astrologist, and away game. Josh from Horsham, he's been doing well. He's telling us he keeps score, which I like. He's going for 6 straight. Matty Nevidar, producer, will put this out because he's got the threesome as he does every week. Echuca, race 5, Mrs. Maisel. Donald, Sunday, race 5, Deer Scent, and race 7, Fergie, each way. He's going to be having a kick with the footy, the little boy in the morning, the footy with the little fella, and then he's cracking a can by 2 o'clock. Go well. That's from Horsham. Josh in Horsham. All right, let's spend some time on the Maccabi Diva Stakes here. We're going to whip through, get your thoughts on every runner, a quick word on them. Before we do that, let's have a listen to what Dwayne Dunn had to say yesterday about how he sees the Maccabi Diva being run.
I think Craig's got to be really careful here that Stefani doesn't get out and get motoring early. He needs to find some cover straight away and just lock her down. Otherwise, she'll be off and racing, I think, here. As you say, it doesn't look like a solid run mile that we usually would like to see in these sort of races. It would be nice to have one or two pace setters in it that would put it on for these horses with such a good finish from back in the field. Yeah, I think Brett can play a couple of cards here. I think if the horse steps well and there's no pressure to go, well, he can take it up and he'll get very easy fraction to first half.
That's talking about Brett Prebble on Incentivise, whose market move has been... He was $11 on Monday before Fields came out. He's now $3.90 favourite. This is what Gator had to say yesterday, talking to G Hall and RSN Central about Incentivise.
The way I'm looking at it is, he might just be a bit of a freak. If that's the case, we probably won't see those sort of prices again, $9, $7.50, then $6, and then whatever it is now, as you mentioned. Now, he's not beating up on Zaki and Very Elegant, but he's running time. He's doing it, sometimes making two runs in a race. You know, if you're winning by around 42 lengths in six wins, you just don't see it.
He said he could be a freak.
I agree in part. I think he could be a freak stayer. But there's nothing that this horse has done to date to say that he's a freak miler. And that's a big difference, right? He showed just rude ability once he got out past 2,000 metres. But it was in far lesser grade than this. His best performance in that Group 3, beat Mirage Dancer, who's a Group 1 winner of a Metrop, but, you know, probably past those days now. He flogged them by 12 lengths. That's a Group 1 performance in my book. I think he is absolutely the horse to beat in the Caulfield Cup. But this isn't the Caulfield Cup. This is a Maccabi Diva Stakes, weight for age, 1,600 metres.
Does he lead?
I don't know. You have to ask Brett Prebble. He can if he wants to. But if he does, he's almost got to make it like a staying test. And I don't know if he's going to be ready for that. So does Prebble balance up and try and use a turn of foot, like a sit sprint? This horse's strength is his strength. Mm. The longer the races get, the better he goes. I don't see how a no-pace 1,600-metre race suits that style of horse. Now, he might have improved lengths. He might have just come from wherever, and he comes out here and wins. But I think he is grossly under the odds on what we know about him.
Do you think he'll drift like Quinny thinks?
I think he has to,
because he's now $3.90.
This is a classic. I'm looking at this race in this market. This is a classic early market hype pylon. And there's a little bit of money for it. And then everyone says, and then text messages go around, and, oh, this thing's on. And people half make stuff up and text their mates. And then they all start piling into this horse. If he firms again on race day, well, you probably know it's real money, right? But if he drifts on race day, if the pros don't want to know about him,
so you're taking
him. It tells you the story. He's not in my quaddie.
Not in the quaddie?
Nope. I love the horse. Absolutely love him. And I think I'm a huge fan of him heading towards a Turnbull and a Caulfield Cup. But this is not this isn't those races. I'm not saying the horse is a bad horse or anything like that. Don't at me and say whatever. I just think he is grossly under the odds in this race, right, on what we know of him.
Give me a quick word on all these runners. Sir Dragonet.
Needs further.
50 stars.
Next time, 1,800.
K.I. Nautique.
Can win. That was a massive run in the Wink Stakes. Nobody missed that run. It was huge. He has a turn of foot. A mile is his best trip.
Imaging.
He's a sneaky one. In a weirdo, messy sit sprint, he could sneak runs and do something. He could finish in the top three, this horse.
Has run well over this distance.
He has.
Mount Popper.
It looked like
Caulfield
the run.
Cup second favourite.
It looked like the run of a horse that's already in the cup. In the Caulfield Cup. No, he's already there. It looked like a little clean-out run for me.
All right. First spoken up. About Incentivise. Explosive Jack will just...
Needs further.
Chase them around. Johnny Get Angry, similar.
Needs further.
Aegon from Gate 4.
Can win. I think Gate 4 is a big help. We saw in the Hobartville, he can settle with a good gate. Midfield or just off midfield. I think that's the key. He's got a turn of foot. We know that. I think he... At what price is he, like $8 or $9 or something?
Aegon, he is $10.
Ah, great each way bet, Aegon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mo Wunga.
Well, he beat the best horse in Australia, Very Elegant.
Why isn't he favourite?
I don't know. And that's the conundrum of this race. See, if you like backing a few in a race, you can make a nice little book here around incentivise getting beaten, because you're backing a genuine, like a miler, a horse who looks like at his best at a mile, potentially, and Annabelle Neesham sort of made similar comments. A horse like Aegon, who's got a turn of foot and looks like he's ready to win this race. And a horse like K.I. Nautique, who's also a very, very good miler.
Is the lack of speed an issue for Mwunga? Annabelle Neesham, speaking to her the other day, thinks that he's a better chaser, drawn out wide, so is inclined to let him find his feet.
Yeah, I agree with that. He's also just a... He's got that sort of freaky nature about him. Like, he can just drop a section, or he can just go boom and then pick a field up, you know. And I think last year as a three-year-old, he was still a bit raw. That was a... It could be a sign of bigger things to come for Mwunga, that Winx Stakes win.
Colette, is she Caulfield Cup horse?
Yeah, I think she is. Love the Memsey run. She'll run a similar midfield race here, and we'll start to see the best of her when she gets to 18 or 2,000 metres, and she'll be right there, I think, in a Caulfield Cup.
And Tefane, first time to the mile?
She's fit. I think it's the right time to try her. You know, it's a bit of a let's find out prep with her, isn't it? She's six now. She's got a couple of group ones in the bag. Why not try and get her out in trip? Like, why not find out if she can maybe stretch and get to a Cox Plate? She's out of a Galileo mare. You know, it wouldn't be the strangest thing that you'd ever seen on a racetrack. She's going to position sort of up in the first part of the field. Craig Williams in slow run races loves being right there, and she's got the gait to do that.
And Inspirational Girls, the other interesting runner, was pretty good first up. We've seen that WA form win the Fian last week. What do you make of her?
She's probably the one that worries me most about the big hitters here in a muddling run race, in a sit sprint. Because she does look one-dimensional, that she's going to have to get a long way back. And gate five, she might find herself in an awkward spot with some butts around her and needing just a few gaps to come late.
Okay, you're potting incentivised first up.
Yeah.
Who are you tipping in the Maccabi?
I'm tipping Aegon.
$10.
Yeah, I think it's a lovely each-way bet on that first up run. It was a very good first up run. Yeah.
Aegon,
I'm sticking
on
that rather than getting on the hype train.
On top. Quaddy numbers.
3, K.I. Nautique. 9, Aegon. 10, Mwunga. 12, Tefane.
3, 9, 10, 12. No incentivising Sharky's Quaddy. All right, let's whip through the last race. We've got a quick break, and then I want your thoughts on the feature in Sydney as well. Skyman, $3.20. Secret Blaze, $5.50. Zigfield, $9. And Defibrillate, $9.50. Top runners in the market. How do we come home? Many in the last leg of the quaddy?
Yeah, messy sort of 1,700-metre race with bulk stayers resuming. Where are they going to be at fitness-wise? Another one to watch the yard. Listen to Dino pre-race. Al Galeo goes in the quaddy. 6 Young Werther goes in the quaddy. I think you have to put in Zigfield and just hope that Aldi rolls forward from 19. It's a shocking gate.
So Al Galeo at $61.
Yep.
Okay.
14 Skyman. 17, Floating Artist.
All right, so give me those numbers again.
4, 5, 6, 8, and what was the other one? 14, 17. You're coming home with a few.
14 and 17. All right. We'll tweet that quaddy out. 4, 5, 6, 8, 14, 17 in the last quick break. On the other side, who wins the run to the Rose? And Sharky's best.
Ooh.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to Friday Form Focus with the Shark. The run to the Rose at Kembla Grange tomorrow. Rose Hill at Kembla is an intriguing race in Sydney. We get to see Animo resuming after a little setback. $2.40 it's now into. Converge $5.50, Remark $5.50, Stay Inside. The slipper winner, who was disappointing on return at $7.50. Are you willing to take $2.40 Animo after a little hiccup first up?
No. This isn't his grand final. He's had that little hiccup. I want to see how he goes here before tumbling into him. I think Remark from a better gate would have been a bet. I don't know what to do with him from 13. Probably need to spend a little bit more time on the race and just work out where he's going to get to in the run. At least he won't get held up from 13 like he did last time. He should have won that race last start. He really should have. I think you're still getting a decent price about this horse, who's clearly got above average talent, maybe as much ability as a horse like Animo. but things just haven't quite gone his way to date. He's the default in this for me. I think there's more there, and okay. I keep backing him in the Golden Rose because I think he's...
You keep backing Remark in the Golden
Rose.
Yeah,
I think he's just going to go to that race and deliver.
They might be taking Artorias up there as well.
Really?
Mm.
Well, I've got Remark and...
A little less confident now.
No, that's okay.
Anything else in Sydney?
In Sydney, yes. Sydney's... I'll tell you what. We said off air before. Sydney, you look at every race and every race is appealing. Absolutely every race is appealing. Race 5 in the Dulcify. I'm keen to see what Giannis does if he goes here. He's also now... He's now getting run in the Run to the Rose. So I don't know which way they're going, though, so just stay tuned there. And in race 6, Written Beauty got too far back last time, was going well through the line. She's a filly that, or a mare now, that I think would appreciate having had that run. She'll go close.
Second favourite behind the Kiwi, Entre Vierre. All right, Sharky, best at headquarters
Ayrton's
tomorrow.
Ayrton the best?
Well, he's $1.60. Come on, give us something.
I think he is... He's the best, though. He's the best. I'm really interested in how Pondus turns up in the first.
Well, hang on. You've given us $1.60 chance and one that we can't do anything with until maybe 5 minutes before the race.
What do you want me to do? Tip you things that I don't like?
Artorias into Ayrton?
Yeah, okay, do that. I know how you love a multi.
SMS, who was your last tip? You actually didn't give us an on-top selection.
Don't really have one. All right,
he doesn't care.
I won't be tipping the card tomorrow that last race. You could throw a dart at that field, and you've got as much chance as me pulling something out and saying, "Yeah, this is it." There's
Sharky,
seven in the quaddy.
Enjoy tomorrow. We will see you Monday on the verdict. It is going to be a ripper day. Punt well.
Only 7 hours till beer o'clock, Michael.
Seven? You're running late. We'll take a break. More tips after this.